Good morning, brothers and sisters and friends. Thanks to Pastor Ben for inviting me back. I hope you all had a Thanksgiving, great Thanksgiving holiday and a nice Thanksgiving dinner. Last Friday, we had a big party here, more than 100 people. And we ate 3 turkeys, and I cooked 2 of them. It was super fun. And so this is Thanksgiving time. And so we will talk about Thanksgiving. And then the title of my message today is In Everything, Give Thanks. When the pilgrims survived the first harsh winter and had their first harvest in New England, they felt so thankful. And they had a feast to give thanks to God and to the Native Americans. Thanksgiving is a time to give thanks. We count our blessings throughout the year. And it is easy to give thanks when everything goes well. But when life doesn't go our way, can we still give thanks? When I was preparing this message, I recalled about a TV show that I liked. Friends, the sitcom. This is my favorite show. Each year around this time, well, they had 10 seasons. Each year around this time, they made a specific episode for Thanksgiving. There was one in 1998, the first year I came to the United States. And it was when the episode called The One with Thanksgiving Flashbacks. In that episode, Ross was evicted from his apartment and got divorced the same day. So he said, this is my worst Thanksgiving. Then all the other friends started talking about like their worst or bad Thanksgivings. And Chandler, he said he remembered his parents told him they were divorcing on a Thanksgiving day. Monica remember on the Thanksgiving day, he overheard Chandler called her fat while she has a crush on him. And Rachel broke up with her boyfriend on a Thanksgiving day. And Phoebe, she said that she lost her arm on the Thanksgiving day in her past life, twice. That's typical of Phoebe. And Joey once got stuck into a turkey and couldn't take the turkey off his head on the Thanksgiving day. So it's a comedy, and then all the stories were fictional, so we just laugh about it. But the real life is only very often worse than the stories, than the fictions. About a month ago, if you heard of the news, Chandler's actor Matthew Perry was found dead in a hot tub at home at age of 54. So this Thanksgiving, the past Thanksgiving, was the one that Matthew couldn't have, and surely wasn't a good one for his family, if not the worst. When things go well, especially well, we cannot help just but give thanks. We thank God for the health, wealth, prosperity, and happiness. We thank our boss for the promotion. We thank our parents for their love. We thank our neighbors for taking care of the trash. We thank the mailman for the mail delivery. But when things go sour, can we still be thankful and give thanks to God and others? So we're going to look at a few verses in 1 Thessalonians today, chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Verse 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything we give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Those are very short verses. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. If it's in the Greek language, the original language, it's the shortest verse in the Bible. And in 17, 18, the first part of 18, they're all very short. You know, when all the Bible authors, when they write down the Bible, they didn't put down the numbers. So the numbers were put down way later by other people, like the editors or the scholars. I think whoever did it, they must feel those verses are so important, so they deserve to have the number to their own. Before we go into the details of the Bible, let's talk about some signs about Thanksgiving first. Thanksgiving, or gratitude in another word. When I dig into this, I realize a lot of research has been done on this topic to answer questions like, what is Thanksgiving or gratitude? Why did human beings develop gratitude? What are the benefits to give thanks? What promotes and what inhibits gratitude? So what is gratitude? Most of you probably have some instinctive understanding of gratitude. But if you are to give a definition, think about it. It's not going to be that easy. What is gratitude, right? So I found this paper, this white paper by a Berkeley scientist. This is from Berkeley. And in that paper, it defines gratitude as a two-step process. Step one, for the gratitude, step one, recognizing that one has obtained a positive outcome. So you have something good. And step two, recognizing that there is an external resource for this positive outcome. I think this is a pretty neat definition. You see something good happening, and you realize this good result is not only from yourself. Somebody is helping you, either from a person or from God. So the feeling of like owing others to a person or God, that's the gratitude. And giving thanks is the expression of your gratitude. So this paper listed a few fun factors, facts about the gratitude. It says some animals, especially the primates, they demonstrated some level of gratitude behavior also. Like, for example, a monkey would scratch another monkey's back if the little one gave him a banana earlier. So animals can show some gratitude. And the young kids, very young kids, even baby, they can show some gratitude as well. And the girls and the women are more grateful than boys and men. The possible explanation is the gratitude is more like associated with weakness. So the men and the boys, they don't want to show their weakness. Americans are less grateful than Germans. So no wonder people all over the world say Americans are arrogant. And also different culture, they express their gratitude in different forms. I can imagine a scenario. If a kid at home helps with the household chores, American mom would give him a hug, big hug, and say, "Oh, thank you, Johnny, you did a great job." And the Chinese mom may say, "Oh, 下个礼拜我给你多5块钱零花钱. I'll give you $5 more for allowance next week." It's a joke. Gratitude is also religious, obviously, according to the research. They have one study. One group of people were assigned to pray for their partners for 4 weeks. And the other group, they were assigned to think about the positiveness of their daily activity for 4 weeks. And then during the time, they found that the first group is overall more grateful than the second group. And also, more grateful parents usually have more grateful children. So children, parents, if you think your kids are not grateful enough, have some self-reflection first. Research also confirmed that thanksgiving or gratitude are beneficial to individuals and to society as a whole. Gratitude can make you happier, more energetic, more resilient, and have a stronger relationship, boost your motivation and performance, build characters. And for the society, some people call gratitude a social group. It combines everything together as a whole. Research suggests that gratitude inspires people to be more generous, kind, and helpful, and strengthens relationship, including romantic relationships, and may improve the climate in the workplaces, a company. However, people are not naturally grateful. You heard about road rage, right? but the phrase root gratitude doesn't exist. You probably often hear a friend complaining about another, right? But you rarely hear somebody expressing gratitude towards somebody else. Evolutionists believe that the human brain is hardwired to identify threats and challenges to help humans survive the dangerous world. The world is dangerous. It is called a negative bias. Negative bias helps us stay safe, but it also skews our views of the life towards the negative side. It causes our brain to prioritize, seek out negative information, and negative emotion will hang out longer than the positive ones. For example, after a long day, long school day, you come home, you're likely to remember one negative comment from a teacher or a friend, but ignore many other positive ones that you received that day. So to maintain a good mental health is to find the balance. Actively counting blessings and giving thanks will offset your brain's negative bias. So if you're suffering some mental issues right now, like you're having a hard time to sleep, if you're depressed, or if you always feel exhausted after school, after work, you feel lonely, counting blessings and finding someone something to thank for each day might be the solution. Scientists try to prove gratitude beneficial by scientific measures, by researchers. But we know God is above all sciences. Since he commanded us to do so, it must be good. Right? Can you think of anything that God asks us to do will do us harm? None. The answer is none. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to love each other, to be honest, to be kind, to be loyal to marriage, to rest on the weekend, to pray, to avoid uncleansed food, you name it. If all people in the world follow God's will, God's commands, the planet will be a heaven. Do you think so? Right? I think so. God will never do us any harm. So he asks us to be grateful, and it has to be good. Researchers should also identify certain traits that act as barriers to gratitude, including envy, materialism, etc. We'll get back to that those barriers later. But we know all those from the Bible without doing any research in the lab. So let's go back to the Bible verses. Paul said here, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I said earlier, the editors must feel this passage is so important, so they made them into three short verses to catch our attention. They are indeed very, very important. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in everything are the characters that distinct Christians from the unbelievers. We rejoice in the Lord. We pray to the Lord, we give thanks to the Lord, and then the unbelievers don't do any of those. In Romans 1st chapter 20, verse 21, here it talks about the unbelievers. Everyone can see God's power through his marvelous creation, but unbelievers do not give thanks to God because of his creation. It says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor give thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools." And in Luke chapter 17, it recorded such a story. Jesus healed 10 men with leprosy. And how many people came back to thank him? One. And now one person is actually a Samaritan, not Jews. So the other 9, all 10, they were healed physically, but only this Samaritan was not only cleaned physically, but also cleaned from sin and death. Unbelievers are not thankful to God, but a Christian does and should. In multiple places in the Bible, in Paul's letters, Paul put joy and gratitude side by side. Joy and gratitude do come hand in hand. When you are happy, you are more likely to be thankful. And when you give thanks, you are really joyful from inside. So in this passage, there are a few important things I want to want you to pay attention to. So first, to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks is the will of God, which means it's a command. It's not optional. It's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. We must give thanks to God if we want to please God. The pilgrim gave thanks to God after the first harvest in the new continent, but Thanksgiving was nothing new. You know, God consistently commanded his people to give thanks to him. In the Old Testament, there was a detailed description of thank offering, to give thanks to God. That's in Leviticus chapter 7. It talks about many different offerings in that chapter, sin offerings, burnt offerings, etc. And the thank offering is a little different from others. To make a thank offering, besides an animal, like a ram, you also have to bring a lot of different bread, with or without yeast, and mix with oil, all that stuff. And then for the animal, they offer the fat to God and give some portion of the meat to the priest, and then they are told to eat the rest of the meat or everything, including the bread, to themselves. And they said, God commanded them to eat them the same day. You cannot leave anything until next day. So it has to be finished the same day. So as you can see, the offering day is also a day of feast, a day of joy, a joyful day. And because none of the food should be left to the next day, you have to finish it. So people are more often open to invite friends, neighbors, to join them, because if you cannot eat them all, it's wasted. So it's also a day of hospitality and generosity. And that brings more joy and thanksgiving. If you invite your neighbor or friends to the feast, they will be happy. They will thank you, right? So again, joy and thankfulness come together. The more gratitude, the merrier. So no wonder Paul always put rejoice and give thanks together, different places. Thank offering pleases God. The fat of the thank offering is burned for God. But God is not pleased because he likes to eat the burnt fat. No. God is happy when he sees that his people understand and appreciate his love and his blessings. God doesn't really eat the offering, but he likes the heart behind the offering. In Psalm 50, verse 13, it says, "Do I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offering to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call on me in a day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me." In the New Testament, offering with the animal and bread is no longer needed. Jesus sacrificed himself in the place of a holocaust. However, sacrifice has not stopped, just in different forms. Our church has a monthly Holy Communion, and that's like the sin offering. Every time we took the bread, it reminds us of our sin, and it reminds us of the Lord died on the cross for our sin. Today, we sing the hymns and praise God and give thanks to God. That serves as the thank offering nowadays. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15, it says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifice, God is pleased." Praise the God and give thanks to God all the sacrifice we are offering to God nowadays. Not only should we give thanks to God ourselves, God also wants us to make others thankful through our generosity. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 to 11, now he who supplies seed to the sower and the bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The Bible really emphasizes on thanksgiving to God. God will enrich us so that we can be generous in every occasion, it says. And that generosity will lead to thanksgiving to God from others. So not only we give thanks for ourselves, but also others will give thanksgiving through us. So second, thanksgiving in everything. God commanded us to give thanks in everything. You don't give thanks only in good times for something great, but in everything, in every situation. Remember the definition in the Berkeley white paper? The definition says you see some good results, and you know someone helped you with the good results, so you give thanks. But Paul says here, in everything, not just when you are in good time, you have good results. And he said this not just in this book. He repeated it to his fellow Christians to give thanks no matter what the situation is. He said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, he says, give thanks for everything. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever the situation is, whatever your identity is, give thanks in everything. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, he said, whoever you are, Gentile, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, slave or free, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Whoever you are, you should be thankful. Even you are a slave, you should be thankful. And in the following chapter, he asked the slave master to be thankful. He said, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. God commanded us to give thanks in everything, but it's not easy, right? How can I be thankful when I'm rejected by my dream school? How can I be thankful when I get a straight C for the semester? How can I be thankful for breaking my leg right before a basketball tournament? How can I be thankful when my best friends betrayed me? How can I be grateful when my dad lost his job and he couldn't pay his mortgage? When we look at all those scenarios on their surface value, they are very unpleasant and sometimes hurt. But as a Christian, we need to see deeper, further, beyond our daily needs. God has a plan for all of us, and his plan might not seem perfect in our eyes, but his plan is always the best. God said in Isaiah chapter 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. If God did not let you go to your dream school, just trust him that your current school will prepare you the best for your life. If a straight C in a semester can teach you to self-discipline and deal with the failures in the future, I think it's well worth it in the long run. Even your best friends betrayed you, you know, our Lord will never abandon you. Psalm 27, verse 10. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. So at the moment, it may seem to be a bitter pill to swallow. But sometimes in the future, when you look back, you will see God's wisdom and blessings. Just trust him. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In all the things God works for our good. Good here doesn't necessarily mean a better job, more money, or higher position, or easier life. God has a plan for us, and that plan is the best for each of us. No matter what happened, as long as it's from God, you can trust it is for your good. Life is full of uncertainties, and there are always situations that could cause anxiety for us as humans. When something unpleasant happens, do not be anxious. Through prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, as I quoted earlier, present your request to God. God will lead you through the hardship and make your heart at peace. Paul has been jailed a few times. And in Acts chapter 16, in that chapter, Paul and Silas, they both were in jail. They were put in jail, but they didn't cry or complain to God. What did they do? Instead, they were praying and singing. Why? Why can he be so joyful and thankful even when he was in jail? Because Paul was not fixing his eyes on the current situation. He was looking at the eternity. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Jail time is probably the worst, the most difficult time in one's life. I don't believe any of you been in jail. But Paul can be joyful and thankful because he sees the value of the crown of righteousness. That is the ultimate award we should be thankful even at the darkest moment of our life. Life on earth will end one day, sooner or later. But eternity is forever. 100 years on earth, 100 years is quite long. But it's close to zero when you divide the 100 by infinity, right? God wants us to rejoice always and give thanks in everything. But we all know that we often cannot give thanks. Why? I mentioned earlier the researchers, they found some factors. But we can know that from the Bible, and I'll list a few today here. First, doubt. I'm sorry, the slides screwed up. First, the doubt about God. The doubt about God's word, power, love, faithfulness, wisdom. You don't believe God can solve the problem that you are facing to bring about his glory and your good. You don't believe in what he says about himself. Whenever the situation deviates from your own expectation, you lose your ability to give thanks. Always trust God. He is almighty and he is faithful. His plan stands firm forever, and his promise never fails. Another factor, selfishness. You remember Jesus prayed to the Father in Luke chapter 22. He said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Basically, Jesus is saying, if there is a way that you can get me out of this, going onto the cross, please do so. But because it's so hard even for Jesus. But if you want me to go through this, I'll obey your will. A selfish person will say, God, I want my way. I don't care what you think. It's either my way or highway. When your will is not aligned with God's will, you won't be happy and cannot be thankful. Another one, worldliness or materialism. You probably got caught up with the worldly pleasure. God and Jesus won't satisfy you anymore, like the song was singing, the song we sang today. You are not satisfied with Jesus alone. King David once said in Psalm 16, I know the Lord is always with me and I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. David was so happy and satisfied when he knew God was with him. Just that alone, he was happy and satisfied, day and night. When you are so much into the world, not the Lord, you care more about people, the material, the prestige, the fame. You won't feel joyful and satisfied in the Lord alone. Another one, critical spirit or attitude. If you are a negative person by nature or by whatever reason, a bitter person, you will always have a sour attitude toward things and people. There's no way you can be thankful. I had met a lady long time ago for about 10 minutes, and her negative attitude imprinted in my mind. So 20 years later, I can still remember her face. I was in graduate school. One day I went to the bookstore on campus to make some food copy, and that lady was on duty. For the whole 10 minutes, she was able to consistently find something to complain about. Oh, the chair is in the wrong place, and who took my pencil, and the copy machine is not working as the way it's supposed to. It's on and on. He kept frowning, no smile, nothing. I feel the room, the air was either 100% negativity or 100% nitrogen. I don't think anything particularly happened to her that day. I would feel really sorry for her husband if she behaves the same at home. I can't imagine this lady would ever be able to give thanks to God or anyone around her. So negativity is bad. Another one, impatience. You don't give thanks because God didn't work with your schedule. You said, God, come to my office tomorrow at 2. Be on time. If you are late, I'll be gone. You won't see me again. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's way are not our way. And God's calendar are not our calendars. There are many other factors, rebelling, pride, spiritual coldness. I don't have time for that. You get the point. So what should we be thankful for? We should be thankful for God's blessing, we should be thankful for God's blessing in this world. We give thanks for his creation and provision. Too many things we took it for granted and never expressed our gratitude to God. Psalm 136 and verse 6 says, give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters. We should give thanks for God just for his creation. We should give thanks for things as simple as like sunlight, air, and water. If it were not for his love, humanity doesn't exist. Right? Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. For we know it is made acceptable by the word of God and prayer. We give thanks for our health, for our daily bread, or loving family and friends. So we thank God for the creation, for the provision, for the blessings. We also give thanks for God's characters. We give thanks for who He is. We praise Him. We give thanks just because He is God. He's almighty. He's holy. He's righteous. He's perfect. If you know our Father, your Father. If you know your Father never makes a mistake, your worldly Father, will you be worried about anything that He asks you to do? Or wherever He leads you to? You won't. And our Heavenly Father is perfect. He never makes any mistakes. Psalm, again, 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to Him who alone does mighty miracles. His faithful love endures forever. For Christians, we rejoice always because we knew He had a plan for us. All things have been working together for our eternal good. God is making this happen. This is the cause for our joy and gratitude. Most importantly, every Christian should give thanks for his or her, for your salvation. We were born a sinner. We were hopeless to save ourselves and destined to be separated from God in eternity. God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and on the cross so that we can be forgiven for our sin and be reconciled with Him and enter His kingdom. When we leave this world, I hope we can all say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. So that's the message for today, and let me summarize what we learned so far today. To rejoice, to pray, to give thanks are God's will. It's not optional. It's a command. It's a must for all of us. And we should give thanks to God in everything, in every situation, not just in good time for great things. Because we know God has a perfect plan for everyone. Matthew Perry, the actor, he left his fan and the world forever. The past is past. What's important is now and the future. Where's Matthew now? Now, where will he be in the eternity? I don't know. If Matthew Perry didn't accept Jesus before his death, he will suffer in the eternity. And that will be one thing that I cannot give thanks for. Not believing in God is a sin, and we can't give thanks for our sin. Other than that, let's give thanks in everything else. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your precious message today. You are Almighty God, and You love us and bless us abundantly. We are so grateful. It's Your will that we should give thanks in everything, including those that we used to take for granted. Help us stop taking for granted and learn to be more grateful because You created us. You protect us. You are so, so good. You deserve all the praise and thanksgiving. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.